All right, you guys, let's listen up. We won a game yesterday. And if we win one today, that's two in a row. We win one tomorrow, that's called a winning streak. It has happened before. So let's see some hustle. Let's jack it up a little. I got a feeling things are about to turn around for us.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss here with you once again. It's been a while since we've done this off back-to-back wins. Before we get into everything, we got to take care of the housekeeping. So first things first, follow me on Twitter, follow me at EthanGSN, follow Weiss at NYG Daily, follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're on iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. And shout out to our sponsors who you'll hear about a little bit later, MyBookie.ag, Blue Chew, and Poster Burner. Shout out to them. Pod wouldn't run without them. Weiss, happy Thanksgiving. Let's start
with
that.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
I'm very thankful for you as a podcast co-host. And, of course, I'm very thankful for our loyal listeners who tune in every week. I'm also thankful for our sponsors. And I'm thankful for this nice bourbon that I'm drinking right now. Hudson Baby
Bourbon.
There you go. Just picked up a nice bottle and, you know, got a half day of work tomorrow before the holiday. So I'm going to enjoy tonight.
This is my favorite week of the year.
Yeah, it's got to be up there.
Work is slow. Nobody's there. Everyone takes a vacation. You can just relax. Thanksgiving, you know, long weekend, football. I mean, it's just amazing. I love this week because
it's great.
So many good things happen this week.
It's nice getting able to wake up on a Thursday and not have to do anything, and then taking Friday to recover, and then still enjoying your weekend.
I mean, just look at the TV schedule. Like, we got the Thanksgiving games.
I don't know the order, but we got some good ones. I mean, Redskins-Cowboys is going to be, like, a disgusting game, but I think it'll be closer than people think, even with Colt McCoy. We've also got Bears Lions divisional game, great defense. That's
three division
be great.
Games.
Three division games. That's right.
Yeah. And then the nightcap, the Saints and
the Falcons.
And the Falcons.
I think
which
all these
always,
games are going to be closer than people think. But
yeah, they're always close.
Yep.
And then Saturday you got obviously Ohio State Michigan.
Uh huh.
Oh my God! Like
I'm so Michigan.
Jim
is gonna
Harbaugh
roll.
Finally do it.
Michigan is going to roll.
I don't know about roll because I just don't trust Michigan and Ohio State yet.
Fair enough.
In terms of playing Ohio State. But I can't wait. It's going to be a great weekend. Depending on how you feel, it could be even greater for the Giants.
Yes.
So.
Miraculously enough.
Here we are.
Yeah, here we are. I don't know if today's going to be a particularly long episode, but I feel like whenever we say that, we tend to ramble on for a little bit.
Yes.
Let's talk about the win over Tampa Bay. Some plenty of bright spots. I was actually at the game, got to enjoy my first and probably last game of the season. What are your thoughts? Eli played well, 17 of 18. A lot of other guys, played well. Evan Engram, Rhett Ellison, Odell. Hell, even Josh Morrow had himself another game. We'll get into that, but what were your overall thoughts on the 38-35 victory over the Bucks?
I mean, overall, I mean, for me, honestly, like, remember a couple weeks ago we talked about, like, what is the Giants' identity? Like, who are they? Well, it seemed like they showed us what they at least want to be. That is a team that's going to, you know, hand the ball off to Saquon Barkley, and he was magnificent. You know,
of course.
Thing at 150 all-purpose yards, three touchdowns. They did a good job of moving at will, really, on the Buccaneers, and you got to give credit to the offensive line. They did a pretty solid job, I thought, in terms of run blocking. Pass blocking was okay. And you look at the addition of Jamon Brown, and you see how much just the interior of the offensive line has been so much better. You can see the impact that he's having, not just on the interior, but Chad Wheeler, who might still be a liability, but because Jamon Brown is there helping, I think you see the significance of having a solid guard next to a struggling right tackle, much more than having Patrick Omame or John Greco, whoever held the Giants throughout there, right guard. So overall, I thought it was a good performance for the offensive line. Eli Manning, I thought, managed the game well. They didn't ask
him
to throw
the
ball a lot.
He managed the game well.
I mean, I think that if you look at his next-gen stats and you see where the ball was thrown, a lot of it was intermediate passes and a lot of it was the receivers doing good things with the ball. And I think that's okay. I mean, they have talent when you look at the receiver position with Ingram and Shepard and Beckham. So, you know, outside of that one throw in the first quarter to Beckham and I think the seam route to Ingram in the fourth quarter, and I think there was a couple of other throws, third and long throws that Eli made. I mean, a lot of it was intermediate stuff and the receivers did a good job getting yards after the catch. Now, I thought, you know, listen, at age 37, if you can have Eli Manning go 17 of 18 for 231 and two touchdowns, you take that. And so, listen, a win is a win is a win. It's good for your culture. Winning is not easy in the NFL. Given what we saw happen in the NFC East this past weekend with the Alex Smith injury, with the way Philly is looking, you know, nobody's sitting here beating the drum that the Giants are going to run the table and win the NFCs. They certainly don't have any margin for error. They most likely have to run the table. But given the fact that what's happening in the NFC, in the division, you know, we're entering Thanksgiving, we're entering December, and, you know, the Giants are not completely mathematically eliminated. So there is that slight, you know, crack in the door where we can, you know, pray and hope. But it was a good win, and it was a win over a team that they probably should beat, and you just take that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of positives and negatives that you can take from the game. You know, I'll start big picture. For me, you know, the win hurts big picture, no matter how you slice it. One, for draft position, and two, because, you know, you're not going to get a look at Kyle Lauletta when Eli's going 17 for 18 for 231 yards and two touchdowns. Now, credit to him, he did what he needed to do. You know, you said it, the pass blocking wasn't that great. The run blocking was great, and I actually have this quote here from Jaymon Brown that makes you feel a little warm on the inside, right? This was Jaymon Brown on starting with three straight runs. It's definitely a statement. You come out and say, listen, we're coming right at you. It's a mentality too. We're going to come right at you. Stop us. Until then, if it's not broken, don't fix it. And that certainly helps when you have a fucking monster in Saquon Barkley. But like you said, they're starting to get that identity, that hand it off to Saquon and let him do what he's got to do. And then if Eli's got time, he'll pick apart a defense. Now, let's not get it twisted. They beat the 49ers. They beat the Buccaneers, right? The Eagles defense, for those who watched this past week, my oh my, and I know it was the Saints, but Weiss, you and I could show up to an Eagles practice tomorrow, take off our street clothes, put on pads, and there's a pretty good chance we'd be starting defensive backs for the Philadelphia Eagles. So
I mean, there's a chance that they might be
starting Golden Tate at safety.
I mean, no, they're having cornerbacks who were not on the roster a month ago.
Yeah.
Starting this Sunday.
Yeah, it's bad.
Like they are desperate.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Giants have a chance. Now, for me, as a person who at this point in time is not sold on any particular draft prospect, right? I think there's a consensus, right? Justin Herbert is the number one quarterback.
Right.
I don't know if he's a guy that I'm dying for. We've spoke about it a few weeks ago, and my opinion on that still stands. I think that if you were to put him in last year's draft class, I'd probably have him third, maybe fourth, in terms of where I would rank him among Darnold and Rosen and Mayfield and Jackson, right? So, you know, I'm not upset by the wins because at this point in time, I'm not dying or sold on a particular prospect. No doubt it hurts your chances at a top three pick. I think the Giants currently sit fifth in the rankings, if I have it correct.
I think they're fourth.
I think the Jets might be ahead of them at this point. They might have a tiebreaker, unless something changed. But I don't know. That's what I saw on Twitter. I could be wrong. Either way, fourth, fifth, however you slice it. It gives Dave Gettleman more ammo to maybe keep Eli on the roster another season if he doesn't think that there's a guy in the draft that he wants. But we touched on it last week after their win. it's good to get a few wins to improve the culture. I think it was a good sign that we didn't have guys turning on Pat Shurmur after, you know, a 1-7 start, because he's not Ben McAdoo. He's not incompetent. He's been a head coach previously. He's learned from his mistakes. He knows how to sort of keep a locker room together. But to get guys like Odell, who's clearly frustrated, some wins always helps. You saw how happy Shepard was after their win. Obviously, Saquon is a rookie. It's good to get him wins, good to get him that experience. So I don't want to say I'm disappointed. I don't want to say I'm like ecstatic and over the moon about it. It is what it is. Some next-gen stats. Evan Engram and Rhett Ellison were fantastic. Engram had a 91.9 overall grade. Ellison, 88.1. Engram obviously did that all in the passing game. Ellison in the run-blocking game. Ellison's grade, actually, his run-blocking grade was the third highest among tight ends in Week 11. And Odell had his best graded game since Week 5. And shout-out, I mentioned him earlier, shout-out to Josh Morrow. I think we spoke about this earlier in the season, how Kerry Wynn is like balling out and he's going to be like the Dave Tollefson of this team, where he's going to go and get another contract after this season. Yep. Josh Morrow might be a good candidate to fill in for him. He, for the second straight week, he is in the top five in edge defenders against the run with an 85.1 run defense grade. Over the last 2 weeks, he's had six stops, posted a run defense grade of 90.9 and an average depth of tackle at 0.86 yards against the run. That, I mean, to me, that's eerily similar to Kerry Wynn, who was known primarily as a run-stopping defensive end and sort of developed that pass rush as time went on. So really, really nice to see from Morrow, because God knows the Giants are going to need some defensive linemen coming in and actually competing for playing time next year.
You know my problem with those stats that you just
threw? They're not perfect, but they're a metric.
My issue is that Tampa Bay, Peyton Barber had 18 rushes for 106 yards. He averaged 6 yards a carry.
Yep.
The Giants still gave up, I believe it was 500 yards of total
let's
offense.
Let's not get it twisted. The Giants were up 38-14 at one point, right? 38-21, something like that. And everyone in the stadium knew the door was wide open. Everyone.
Well, it was actually 31-14.
Sure.
Yeah, it was 31-14, and their defense is really, really bad. I mean, to me, like when I was watching the game on Sunday, I think I was rewatching it yesterday night, and I said to myself, watching the Giants defense, I'm like, they probably need 8 or 9, maybe even 10 new starters on defense, depending on how some of these rookies develop.
Yep.
So there's a lot of holes on this defense, and I think it's good that they're able to win these type of close games. But in no way, shape, or form do I think, you know, their defense is capable enough to go to be able to run the table, let alone, you know, win against the Rams or the Saints.
No shot. Top team.
I mean, I just don't see it.
I think people think that they can run the table, and even if they do run the table, even make noise, I think they're all delusional.
How do you?
I would like to live in a world where I'm that positive.
Just think about this for a second, right? Based on the playoff success the Giants have had, how have they been able to stop high-powered offenses, whether it was the undefeated Patriots or, you know, the 15-1 Green Bay Packers?
Passwords.
And that, they don't have none of that. I mean, I like Lorenzo Carter. He's definitely improving on a week-to-week basis. But you need more than that. And Olivier Vernon
is disappeared.
I mean, this was a guy that I vouched for, that I said maybe could be on the roster next year. But I got nothing for you on that. He has, you know, put on an APB out there, because he is a missing person alert, because he has not been seen outside of getting some boneheaded penalties. It's tough.
And it's surprising, because his first game back from injury, he was really good. He looked great.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden it's like, where the hell is this guy?
And I know Joe Staley is a good left tackle, but the last 2 weeks he hasn't really gone against this, you know, a Trent Williams or a Tyron Smith or somebody like that. So it is pretty surprising he's been a no-show, but just think, you know, with this they have so many holes on defense.
Oh, yeah.
And even if the offense is this, just the defense alone, it is so – they are so far from being – I mean, we're talking they need a new pass rusher. Mm-hmm. They need a couple of linebackers. Yep. They need a couple of corners. They need a free – I mean, just go down the list. You know, Curtis Riley, I mean, give me a break.
Yeah.
You know, B.W. Webb has been a positive thing, but he's been good when it comes to a B.W. Webb standard. But you need someone much better than B.W. Webb.
And you look at some of the defenses the Giants have left to play, and even some of the offenses, right? Like, the Eagles are still capable of destroying this defense.
Yeah, we saw that earlier.
The Bears are going to go apeshit on this defense. The Redskins, they're just going to run AP into the ground.
The way I look at this, the rest of this Giants season is, if this team is going to somehow manage to, well, let's talk about this. Let's talk about when can we have that discussion about winning the NFC East, right?
And when they beat the Bears.
To me, it's not just that. There's no margin for error. So for me to even have discussions about winning the NFC East, like legitimate discussions, we can crack a joke here and there, but to even have a legitimate discussion, they're going to have to win in Philly this week. Then they're going to have to go home next week and beat the Chicago Bears, who, by the way, have probably a top five defense. And then on top of that, they're going to have to go the following week to Washington and win that game too. Then we can talk.
Because I don't even care. Don't even talk to me about Colt McCoy. That defense is still good.
Well, the thing is that there's no margin for error with the Giants right now. Like, if they want to do this thing, if they want to make he'll look like a freaking prophet if they win the rest of their games and make the playoffs. I mean, they'll build a statue for him in downtown New York.
Oh, yeah.
For me, it's like, you know, when do we start? When can we have this discussion? Beat Philly, beat Chicago, and then go to Washington and win. You do that, you're 6-7, then we can talk.
You know? I mean, I don't see it happening. So, to me, this is even a silly conversation. We're playing crazy hypotheticals right now.
It's to answer those questions. It's to really, like, make people truly understand that what they have to do.
Sure.
It's great to beat San Francisco. It's a good to win that game. It was great to come home and get your first win against a Bucs team that is really – I mean, they're just – I don't know what they're doing. I mean, the throws Ryan Fitzpatrick was making, I mean – how do you not go to Jameis Winston sooner?
It's crazy. And I don't want to entertain it. I think we got a question coming up later. There's people who are like, oh, what if the Giants trade for Jameis?
Why would the Bucs trade for Jameis if Jameis is probably the best option at quarterback next year?
It's crazy. Turnover machine.
Yeah, he, and not just that, I don't think his personality and his background.
Not for New York.
It's not at all.
Not for New York.
Not at all.
What's going on, guys? Woj here, host of the Garden Faithful podcast on the Gotham Sports Network, and I'm here to talk to you guys about something that's pretty important to me. That's right, fellas. I'm talking about some sex. Look, let's face it. Sometimes your performance in the bedroom isn't always up to Super Bowl caliber, and that's okay. If you're listening to this podcast and you're a fan of the Giants, you already know that Eli isn't the guy that he used to be. He just doesn't have the confidence he used to. He's impotent from time to time, and he just can't throw the long ball like he used to. But that's okay. He's still a Super Bowl champion at heart, and that's why the fans love him. Does this sound like you in the bedroom? Do you feel like you lack the performance, you lack the confidence that you used to have, and you just don't feel like the person used to be in the bedroom? Well, guess what? We have a way to increase performance so you can go back to feeling like the Super Bowl champion Eli in the bedroom. It's called BlueChew.com. It's a small little blue pill that you can take anytime, any day, any night, even on a full stomach. They're chewable, so if you don't like swallowing pills like myself, they go down easy. The best part is they work twice as fast as a normal pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. And look, fellas, I tried Blue Chew the other night. Not only did I score a touchdown, but she let me go for the 2-point conversion, if you know what I'm saying. Right now, we got a special deal for our listeners. If you go to bluechew.com, you will get your first shipment free when you use the special promo code GOTHAMSN at checkout. All you have to do is pay the $5 shipping. Best part is it comes to your door in a discreet package, so there's no in-person doctor visit, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and best of all, there's no awkwardness. Again, that's bluechew.com, B-L-U-E like the color, chew.com, promo code GOTHAMSN to try it for free. We'd like to thank them for sponsoring the podcast, and now back to the show.
I guess the next thing on the docket, are the Giants better or are they playing bad teams?
I think it's both.
Steal the words right out of my mouth, why don't you?
I mean, I think they're doing a good job of running the football. Their offensive line has been better than it has been earlier in the season. I think, you know, what they've asked of Eli now is don't win us games, just don't make mistakes, just be a game manager.
Don't lose us games.
Yeah, exactly. And I think they're telling Saquon, here's the ball 20 plus times.
And I also think that part of it, it's they're playing bad teams, but they're also, you know, week 9, 10, 11, they obviously are now way more familiar with Pat Shurmur's offense. And they get to exploit a bad defense while learning. So that always helps.
Yeah, I think that's essentially what we're seeing. Playing bad teams helps.
Always.
But I think it's a combination of both. I think it's probably 60% more towards they're playing bad teams, and 40% of it's they're actually doing the right thing in terms of game planning and putting the ball in the proper players' hands to make plays for them.
Yep. How many more wins they got in the schedule? I don't think they have any.
You don't think they have any?
None.
I think there's one.
It's got to be Washington.
Well, then in that case, two.
Then no.
I mean, I think they'll beat Tennessee at home.
Really? You think so?
Yeah, Tennessee is...
They're weird team. That defense is underrated. Yeah.
But Marcus Mariota's like in and out, in and out, in and out. He's hurt. And then it's like, if they're playing Blaine Gabbert, I think they, you know, I like their chances of winning that game too. I just think, you know, Barkley's such a special player that I think that if they continue to give him the ball 20 to 25 times, they'll be able to be in the game late. Right now I'm leaning toward one or two.
Okay. For me, it's one. It's maybe one, and it's got to be. Man, I don't know. Ugh, now this is tough. I'm trying
to
think.
We talked about the Eagles earlier, right? Like, think about this for a second. They go to Philly, right, against a team that's picking up, you know, cornerbacks off the street.
Yep.
You know, like literally. I think you could probably see some Eagles scouts in front of, you know, Geno Stakes trying to like I'm serious. Like it's crazy how bad their corner situation is.
Pats or Geno's. Yeah.
Yeah. And the Giants haven't won there since 2013.
Yep.
They're like 2-10 in the last 12 meetings in Philly. Because of all that, you and I both as Giants fans, we know it's like impossible to win in Philly.
Yes.
Like, despite all that stuff about how they're in complete turmoil and Carson Wentz has sort of regressed a little bit and, you know, Doug Peterson, I mean, what the hell?
Yo, okay, let's talk about this for a second. It is crazy to me that there are people that still stand for Doug Peterson after he lost Frank Reich and John DeFilippo, and you can see how badly this team has regressed.
Yeah. That's why when I talked to people about the Eagles last year, I'm like, yeah, they had talent, but if you look at it, I mean, they had probably one of the best coaching staffs.
Look at what Reich is doing in Indy now.
And wait until John DeFilippo becomes a head coach.
Yeah.
You know, and it's crazy. It's really like offensively, you know why they were able to not lose a step with Nick Foles is
because
a guy like Frank Reich. I mean, look at what he's like. Like you said, look at Indianapolis right now.
Yeah.
They've done a good job building that team, that offensive line.
Yes.
They have, you know, Andrew Luck.
He's been tremendous this year.
He's an MVP candidate.
Yes.
Like, if the Colts somehow manage to make the playoffs, which right now they're, like, tied for the final playoff spot in the AFC, if they somehow manage to win the division, it'll be hard for me to decide between Andrew Luck and Drew Brees. Like, right now, Drew Brees is my MVP simply because I think that what he's doing in New Orleans is amazing. And the fact that the MVP is now like a narrative award. Like, how can you make the best argument for a guy, right? Because all these guys, all these MVP candidates...
I mean, the argument is stronger for Drew.
Of course, yeah, exactly, because he's never won one, and he's 40.
Yeah.
You know, with Andrew Luck, there's still more time there, so...
His team's also not a real contender, and the Saints are the favorites to win it all now.
Yes, but if the Colts can string together some more wins here, then they can sort of put themselves in that conversation to win that division. Yep. I go back to that Houston game earlier in the season, man. I think that was the one big mistake for Frank Reich this season. Mm-hmm. The way he handled that overtime, if you remember, I think he would, like, 40 seconds left, he went for it from his own midfield or something like that. And it, but they outplayed Houston in that game, throughout the game. So I love what Frank Reich is doing there. John DeFilippo in Minnesota, there's some issues there.
Mostly the fact that they paid a mediocre quarterback like $1 billion in free agency.
Exactly.
It's like the number one way to not build a team.
I think with Cousins, I mean, I went into that game expecting everything that happened.
Yes.
I mean, being in the from the DC area,
I didn't think it would be that
Kirk
big of
Cousins,
a blowout, but yeah.
I mean, No. I was like, this is going to be a game where Cousins throws three picks. He misses through. I mean, this is what he does. This is what he did throughout his whole career in Washington. This is why Washington didn't pay him. Now, I still think Washington should have locked him up when they could have got him earlier. Exactly. But when DeFilippo becomes a head coach, I think he's going to do a really good job. And it might be this year, after the next year with the Jets. I think that makes a lot of sense.
That's a good fit.
But the Eagles, with all that turmoil, I mean, it's just tough for me to see the Giants go in there and win because I don't even know what that means.
Yeah,
like I can't even dream about that.
Sure. What else we got before we get into questions?
So you say there's no more wins on the docket for the Giants?
No, maybe Washington, because I don't think Colt McCoy is as bad as people are making him out to be, and I think that Redskins defense can still wreck a game, but I don't see any other wins.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a huge Alex Smith fan. I mean, it sucks what happened to him, right?
Yeah.
Dude, I don't
And,
that, I don't
and
think,
by the way, that's why you get your money when you can.
Yeah, I don't think there's a huge drop-off from Colt McCoy to Alex Smith.
Me neither, and Vegas only thinks that the drop-off is like 2 points.
Like, all Colt McCoy needs to do is not lose them games. And he's
Dude, that's
Smith.
What I'm saying. They're just going to hand it off to Adrian Peterson like 10 times.
Even if they throw the ball to McCoy, they're basically all Colt McCoy needs to do is not turn the ball over, and he is Alex Smith.
Right, exactly. He throws short to mid-range passes, and he hands the ball off.
So
and
people like
$74 million.
People are like, yeah, like people are counting out the Redskins from winning this division. I think it's pretty funny. But McCoy's been in Washington for like 4 or 5 years now. Like, he knows that system.
Yeah, it's really not going to be that big of a drop-off.
Not at all.
No. And I already took, as soon as the line came out, I got it as fast as I could. I took Washington +8. I took it +8. You know where I took it?
Eight?
You know where I took it?
Where?
MyBookie.ag. Wow, yeah. Talk about a transition. MyBookie.ag, promo code NYG. Get your deposit bonus. 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. I'm 8-2 today betting college basketball in the middle of a Tuesday afternoon. MyBookie.ag, promo code NYG. Sign up before Thanksgiving. Gamble on the games on Thanksgiving. We got 3 NFL, 2 college. We probably got some college basketball. Probably going to have some NHL. Come have some fun. Follow me on the Action app. I'll tweet out the link. It's like MyAction/Ethan, whatever it is. Follow me on the Action app. You can see all my picks. MyBookie.ag, promo code NYG. Sign up. So, yeah, the line's only 8 points.
That's surprising. I think people are going to be really surprised.
Because people are overrating Dallas. People are overrating Dallas. They're not the team that you saw the last 2 weeks. And they've been playing really, really overrated opponents. The Falcons stink. I don't care the run they went on. The Falcons stink. They have no – their defense almost as bad as the Eagles.
But I think the thing about Dallas that's impressive is their defense. Like, their defense
they've done a good job of building the defensive line.
I think their defense won them the game against Atlanta. Even though Dan Quinn's clock – like, coaching decisions just make me so angry. Like, what the hell is he doing?
Like, how is he head coach? His fucking time – I can't even get into it.
I think it was like 3 minutes to go, and he had two timeouts, or 2 minutes to go, he had two timeouts. And I don't remember if the Cowboys were in field goal range and he started taking his timeouts early before the two-minute warning or something like that. Yeah. And I'm just like, why don't you just wait? You know, let them run that clock and then call it on third down. Right. So it was just some of his decisions. I have to go back and watch that game, but some of his decisions are just laughable to me.
Yes.
And don't even get me started with Steve Sarkisian.
He's been awful forever.
Oh, my God. How Steve Sarkisian is an offensive coordinator in the NFL is...
I mean, the drop-off between Shanahan and him over the last couple of years has been, like, how do you employ him? It doesn't make any sense to me.
It's like jumping off a cliff and landing, you know, in a pile of shit.
Right.
I mean, Sarkisian is so bad.
So bad. All right, any other comments on the state of the NFL?
How about that game yesterday, man?
Nuts. Nuts. I'm a dumbass. I took the under.
You took the under?
Yeah. But I also took Chiefs plus 3.5, so I still won a unit.
She took the under.
Yeah. Everyone fucking laugh. Come on. Laugh at me. Yeah, I took the under.
So you thought this was going to be like a Bob Sutton, Wade Phillips, old school defensive.
I didn't think that. Come on now. Dude, come on. 64 points is a lot of points.
The Giants scored 38.
On the Bucks. Giants,
listen, the Giants scored 38. When the Giants scored 38, I said, man, the Rams and the Chiefs might combine for 90.
Yeah. Listen, hindsight's 20/20. I regret it tremendously. I wish I didn't even go near it. I got suckered into it last minute. But yes, I took the under.
I mean, I'm not a gambling guy. But if I was.
But if you were.
I probably would have made a lot of money yesterday with that over under. How you took the under? Oh, my God.
You never know, man.
Oh, man.
All the money was on the over. And Vegas didn't even move the line.
People say like that's like ruining football.
No.
There was 21 points off turnovers.
Making it more fun.
There were 21 points scored on defense. Mahomes threw what, like four interceptions, five interceptions?
Yeah.
I don't understand how this is bad. This is great.
Yeah.
We're finally seeing this was like the first time we saw two of the top, you know.
These are juggernaut offenses.
Yeah, and it was like the first time in history the top two teams by record met this late in the season.
Right.
The only thing wrong with that game yesterday was Jason Witten trying to pronounce that Rams linebacker's name.
Yep.
Awubakan.
I can't even pronounce it.
I saw that clip today and I died laughing.
I'm sure as shit not going to rely on Jason Witten for pronunciation help.
Jason Witten is one and done.
Yes.
He's going to be one and done on Monday Night Football.
He's bad. Him and Booger, I mean, listen, I liked Booger starting the season off, and now I'm so wrong, it's unbelievable.
Booger's more of like a TV personality. Like,
yeah, he's so ridiculous. He literally called Odell a diva like 3 weeks ago because he didn't pee his pants.
Yeah, he makes comments like that where you're like, this guy shouldn't be on the sideline. He should be like, you know, debating on a – he should be embracing the debate.
Yep.
Oh, man.
It's not.
That was the only thing wrong about the game yesterday.
Yes.
Oh, and the L.A. Coliseum field.
Well,
I mean, can we please hurry up and get this stadium built for the Rams? They deserve a really nice stadium.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, with the quality team they're putting on the fields, come on.
Yeah. I mean, the L.A. Coliseum, like, I felt like they were playing in, like, a high school stadium yesterday. Like, the lights were, like, dark. Like, you couldn't see. I mean, the camera angle was, like, it seemed like half the field was dark. I mean, it was just, I hate the L.A. Coliseum. I absolutely hate it, especially when there's a night game there and you're watching it on TV. It's horrible.
Yeah, it's bad.
You have to build your stadium.
Should we get into some questions?
Yes.
questions brought to you by Poster Burner, posterburner.com/GothamSN. Get 10% off your order. I got the beautiful Odell poster made by them. Glossy finish, black frame. It looks beautiful. Take your memories. Take your favorite athletes. Take your favorite movie posters. Take them over to posterburner.com. Get them made cheap. Get them made quick. Took me literally 5 minutes. And I'm helping you get 10% off your order. Posterburner.com/GothamSN. First question from Jake. Is it just me or has Solder played better with the signing of Jaymon Brown? I don't know what the signing of Jaymon Brown would have to do with Nate Solder playing better.
Yeah, I mean,
they don't play on the same side of the line.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me.
I mean, hey, if they're getting along well in the line, I'm not even going to get into it. Yeah. Even though Jacksonville denied the trade rumors, would you trade for Jalen Ramsey? Buck, yeah, I would trade for Jalen Ramsey.
I would too.
I would trade for him in a second. I texted you this the other day.
Yes.
What would you give up?
I would make an offer of like a second round pick, a fifth, and then a mid to late round pick in next year's draft.
Yeah, yeah. I would do like a second this year and a third next year probably.
Yeah.
I would do that in a second actually.
Yeah, especially when, you know, the Giants are probably going to be desperate for corner help. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know the Giants are in no position to trade away assets, but if Herbert is their guy, do you think they'll move up for him?
Yeah. I mean, their guy and they need a franchise quarterback, yeah.
Yeah, I just don't want people fucking bitching to me on Twitter when the Giants have no draft assets to fix the other holes on the team because they skipped on a quarterback this year to give away their assets for one this year.
I mean, yeah. I mean,
that's why you don't do it.
I feel like we said this last year.
I'm beating a dead horse at this point.
Yeah, like, all right.
Yeah. This is another one. This is the Jameis question. No, the Giants are not trading for Jameis. And then this one from Alex. Odds the Giants bring Eli back next year for his last year on his contract?
I don't think so. I get it. He's played serviceable the last 2 weeks.
Can't forget the first 9 weeks of the season.
Yeah, and on top of that, I mean, they basically admitted in the middle of the season that they're tearing this thing down and rebuilding it.
Yes.
The oldest
shit quarterback is not part of the plans for
They're
rebuilding.
Not going to pay Eli Manning $23 million in the final year of his deal just to be a part of 1 year of this rebuild.
Right.
They're going to need that salary cap space.
Yep.
They would have to run the table and make the playoffs for Eli Manning to come back next year.
Yes. All right. Anything else?
I got nothing for you, man. I hope you and all of our listeners have a great Thanksgiving.
You as well. And same to the listeners.
I will. I will most definitely have a great Thanksgiving.
I'm already excited. I'm already like, you can't see me, but I'm jumping for joy right now.
The best Thanksgiving is when you're invited to two separate events.
Why is that?
Because it's like round one, round two, and then you're knocked out.
I would just,
I'm serious.
Give me a one round TKO of me on the couch.
No,
wine, turkey, and football.
You got to do two.
No,
you
I can't
gotta,
do it. Like,
for the past couple years, I've been invited to two separate ones. It's the best thing ever.
No, save your two and let me just enjoy one.
If you listen to this podcast, let me know. What do you prefer, being invited to two separate events? You do a lunch and a dinner on Thanksgiving, or if you're just like to do one and be lonely and sit on the couch. For me, it's two.
Lonely? No, you're still with family and friends. You just don't have to leave. It's going to be like 20 degrees in New York. I am not going outside.
Hey, listen, we live in the Northeast. 20 degrees ain't nothing. We'll be all right.
That's true.
Two are better than one.
Fair enough. All right. Enjoy your Thanksgiving, everyone.
You too. Everyone, enjoy.
Shout out to the sponsors, MyBookie, Poster Burner, Blue Chew, and of course, subscribe. iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, Twitter, EthanGSN, NYGDLE, GothamSN. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Peace.